Good morning. I'm Pastor Aaron Winniwiski, and today I'm talking about surprise, which I thought was kind of an odd topic, but that's how things landed. I don't always get to call all the shots. I didn't decide what the 8 core emotions are that people experience, and so I learned a lot. And as I've been learning, I have been noticing, I've been seeing where surprise happens in our lives. And it happens more often than I expected. Yesterday, we had a little graduation party at our house. 3 of my kids were awarded diplomas over the last week. So that was exciting for us. And so we had this party, and we knew that, particularly for my son and daughter, who we adopted from Ethiopia, we knew there was going to be a particular surprise for them, because friends of theirs from Ethiopia, who ended up being adopted by a family in Illinois, were coming to the party, but we didn't tell them. Now, one of these friends is also friends with another person who graduated, with Ariana. So Ariana is in communication with this girl, Tigist, who lives in Illinois. And Tigist told Ariana, "I'm coming, but don't tell Howie, my daughter. Don't tell her." So I'm sitting at a table with the same table that Ariana and Howie are sitting at. And at one point, and I didn't know that Ariana knew that this was, that Tigist was coming. So, but at one point, Ariana sits back in her chair with her phone and is like leaning back. And I thought, that's weird. Not sure what's happening here. And then Howie notices that our friend Gwen and her family had showed up. So she turns around. She's like, "Oh, hi, Gwen." And then you just hear this from the gut scream come out of her. "What?" And she stands up and runs. And the rest of the people at the table are going, what just happened? It was kind of frightening. But then I realized, Tigist must be here. And so she ran, and Tigist and Sion they've arrived, and Howie is running to meet them. And Tigist had texted Ariana and said, "We're almost there." So Ariana filmed the whole thing. I'm not sharing that video. I didn't even ask Howie permission, because I didn't see her yet this morning, if I could share this story. So I hope it's okay that I shared the story. But what was happening there was this huge surprise. And it was like, why would we keep it a secret from our kids that some of their friends are coming to the party? Well, because we like surprises. That's why we wrap presents, right? We like surprises. That's why we use the term spoiler alert, because we don't want somebody who doesn't know the surprise to hear it before they see the movie or watch the TV show. We don't want to spoil it for them. We like that kind of surprise. There are some surprises that we don't like as much, but there's something that goes on inside of us that really enjoys that moment of not knowing what's going on. And that's what surprise is. That's what surprise does. So we're going through emotions. We're going through what the Bible has identified as 8 core emotions, but what researchers have defined as 8 core emotions. And then we're going into Scripture and saying, what clues does that give us about how God has wired us? What can we learn about that? Where can we see that? Particularly, as we're going to move into a series in the Psalms, particularly, where do we see those core feelings expressed by King David? A guy who Scripture says is a man after God's own heart. So if we can get clues about what's happening in David's heart, maybe we're going to get a better idea about God's heart and how our hearts can connect with God. So surprise is one of those feelings that we go through. And it's the feeling of not knowing something. It's the feeling of entering a situation and being caught off guard. We've looked at anger, and what anger does is it prepares us to fight. We've looked at fear. Fear protects us. We've looked at joy. Joy moves us. Surprise. Surprise puts us in a position of gathering information. Surprise gathers information. So when Howie saw her friend, she told me afterwards, she said, "I thought I was dreaming. I couldn't believe it." That's a wonderful moment where you're not sure if what's happening is real. That's surprise, where you don't know, and so your mind and your body reacts in a way that's all about gathering information. Your eyes open wider in order to give your brain more information, and this happens without you thinking about it. You're just wired by God in the midst of surprise to have your eyes open wide, and sometimes we gasp, we take in more air, we give our brains more oxygen in order to process the information. We don't know what's going on. We want to know what's happening. And sometimes we cover our mouths. And some researchers say that's to protect us. Our mouths just gaping wide open in a moment of surprise where we don't know what's going on could have put us in a vulnerable position. So we cover our vulnerability. We don't even think about it. Our body's just wired to do that. That's what surprise looks like. That's what surprise does. For instance, and it's not something that we've necessarily learned. If you read the New Day Minute, our weekly email newsletter, which if you're not getting and would like to, just check that box on your communication card. That surprise looks like that no matter what country you go to, no matter what culture, it's wired into us. And if we go back to a culture thousands of years old in the Middle East, we read in Job 21, verse 5, "Look at me," Job says, "and be stunned." Stunned is another, is an aspect of surprise. "Look at me and be stunned. Put your hand over your mouth in shock." Surprise is being stunned. It's being shocked. So under certain circumstances, we like surprises, like at the party yesterday, or gifts, or roller coasters that have unseen twists and sharp turns. But there's also sometimes when we prefer for things to be a little more predictable. When you visit the doctor, you don't necessarily want a surprise. When you're driving, that's one of the things that I've taught my kids when I'm teaching them to drive. Drive in a way that's predictable. That's what turn signals are about. You don't want to surprise anybody by what you're doing. Oftentimes you don't want to get a surprise at work or on a paycheck. But feeling surprised is part of being human because we don't know everything. Right? There's always going to be an element of surprise in our lives because we don't know everything. Even when we're surprised, when we're caught totally off guard, it comforts me a bit to know that God isn't. There's nothing we can do, nothing that can happen, where God goes, "Boy, I didn't see that coming." He's never surprised. And yet when Jesus came and was born as a human, God in the flesh, he humbled himself to the point that he gave up his privilege of having that kind of knowledge. So Jesus experienced surprise. Can you imagine for God, for the first time, to experience surprise and to be surprised? How odd that must have been. And I think God likes to surprise us. I think he likes to do things that make us go, what? That's what Howie shouted. What? Because she couldn't believe it, because she needed more information. I think God does that with things like the platypus. Seriously? Did you know the platypus, it's a mammal, but it lays eggs? What? Did you know the male platypus, but only the male, is venomous? What? Did you know the platypus does not have any teeth or stomach? What? Now, I bet a bunch of you are like, are you serious? You can't be. I want to learn more, because that's what surprise does. It drives us to want to gather information. I want to learn about this platypus. By the way, they're platypus puppies. I don't think that's what they're called, but they're kind of cute. Little, but you can't have it as a pet. They're venomous. Anyway, I learned a lot about the platypus. It's surprising, and I think God likes to put things in front of us that make us go, what? And he just goes, yep. Yep, I did that. We don't know everything. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 8. My thoughts, this is God saying, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We are going to be surprised by God. The question is, what will we do with surprise when it happens? Let's look at a moment in time when God did something new and wonderful and completely different, and let's see how people handled the surprise. This event we're going to look at occurred after the death and resurrection of Jesus during the festival of Pentecost, which is 50 days. That's what the name of the festival means. It's 50 days after Passover. Passover was when Jesus was crucified. So 50 days later, so he was crucified. He rose from the dead. He spent time with his followers. He taught them. He gave them instructions. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Stick around here for a while. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. That was going to be something new. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will tell people about me here in Jerusalem and nearby and in other adjacent areas and to the ends of the earth. You'll be my witnesses everywhere. But for now, just wait. And then he ascended into heaven. He, before their eyes, was lifted up into heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. You think they were surprised in this? Yes! Suddenly, something is happening, and they are having to process it. Their eyes must have been wide. Their mouths must have been agape. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let me park on that for just a moment. So the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a God who in a surprising way, a way that is higher than we could think or imagine, is a God who is one God and a God who also is three persons, not people, understand, but entities with a personality, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. The Father who we attain to, the Heavenly Father, the Son who walked among us, and through whom all things were created, and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, the word means, the Greek word and the Hebrew word are the same word that you would use to talk about wind or breath. So there's this holy breath, this Holy Spirit that moves and works in our midst. And at this point, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the presence and the power of God in themselves. And they begin speaking in other languages, or other translations would say speaking in tongues. And now, maybe some of you have had experience with this idea of speaking in tongues, and you are familiar with churches, even churches in this area, where that's something that's a part of the regular worship service. I've been around people in situations where speaking in tongues has happened. I haven't experienced it for myself. I can tell you that in my limited experience, it sounds sometimes to me like kind of a repetitive babbling, and I don't say that in a disrespectful way, because I believe God works in ways that are beyond my experience and my understanding. I'm just telling you what it sounds like to me when people are expressing this speaking in tongues. And the Apostle Paul does teach about it in Scripture and says this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says if it's going to be done in the context of a worship service, you also need to have someone there who has the gift of interpretation. Otherwise, it will sound simply like incoherent babbling to the people around. So there needs to be someone who interprets. Now, I think what's happening at Pentecost, what's being described here, is different from that. And here's why. As we continue to read, what we're going to see is that it wasn't words that didn't sound like words that needed to be interpreted. As we continue in verse 5, it says, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. That's what surprise does. They heard the loud noise. They were surprised. They wanted more information. They came running, and they were bewildered. Another word that's like surprise. They didn't know what was going on. They were caught off guard. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Something is happening here where they don't need an interpreter, where they're hearing their native language coming from the mouths of these people who have no reason to know their native language. So, was God working within the believers to actually enunciate and speak that native language? Or was he working in the people who were hearing it so that they would miraculously hear in a way that they understood? Or was it some mix, some combination of the two? I don't know. But it was surprising to people. As we continue in verse 7, they were completely amazed. We're seeing just over and over, just different words that kind of mean that feeling of surprise. They were amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, this region in Israel, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. Here we are, and this is my favorite part. I'm just trying to imagine. It's not my favorite part, but it is fun to try to imagine. It was the Apostle Luke who wrote this, and I think he might have summarized things, because I'm trying to imagine people going, what's going on here? And then making this whole list of all the different people represented. How many people are going to actually list out all the different people represented? Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. I think maybe they wouldn't have said all of those all at once, but Luke is helping us out here. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. They are shocked, surprised, amazed, perplexed. They feel surprised, so they're asking questions to gather information. How can this be? What can this mean? But not everyone got past that first question. As we continue in verse 13, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Instead of asking, how can this be? They saw something they didn't understand and determined this cannot be and came up with an explanation for it that fit what they could understand. We're prone to do the same thing because we have been tricked and manipulated so many times. I've got an example we're going to put up on the screen that can show what it looks like to be tricked. Nope, not that one.
Here's the move, and I'm going to teach it to you as I do it. See how I switch just like that? See how I do that switch? Yeah. Hold it tight so I can't, good, like that. Now I have the club, hold on. Without looking, what would you bet on? If you were to guess without looking, would you bet the club was on the top or bottom?
The club was on the top.
Would you be impressed if the club was on bottom, spade was on top? Because you're holding tight the whole time.
Yeah, that would be very impressive.
See, but with those guys, they couldn't even remember where the club or spade was, so I had to come up with a new way to get them.
Yeah.
That's why I came up with this, just turn it.
What's...
Wow. Here, hold this one here. Hold tight. Say, tight. Say a number from one. Well, think of a number from 1 to 20.
Yeah, got it.
17? Here, I got a present for you.
Was it 17?
Right, it was 17.
Yeah, yeah. But I have a present for Mr. President. It's a.
Oh, God. I'm going to turn my watch off.
Uh-oh. So I don't believe that David Blaine can change the laws of physics and do magic and make cards become different cards, but I can't explain how he did that. If you watch it again, you can actually see him taking the watch off. I can't explain how, I don't believe that he can read the mind of George Bush and know that George Bush is thinking of the number 17, but I can't explain how he could do that. So here we are in a situation where we can be tricked, and we know that. And none of us wants to be tricked. Sometimes it can get us into some trouble. When God does something that we didn't plan or that we don't understand or we can't explain, the question is, are we going to press into Him with humble curiosity and go, how can this be? What is happening here? Or will we deny Him? I'm not talking about being gullible. We've got to be careful. My dad had tried to sell a treadmill online recently, and he was selling the treadmill for $250. And a person sent a check for $1,750 and said, take the $250, but deposit the whole check. Keep $250, but I need you to wire the remainder of it, $1,500, to my mover who is coming to pick up the treadmill. Now, this was a couple weeks ago. My dad approached me right after the church service and said, this sounds fishy to me, Aaron. And I said, this is fishy. I don't know what they're up to, but don't play the game. So he did some research. He was surprised to get a check for $1,750. So what surprise does is it looks for more information. And He did a little bit of research, and he found out that this kind of scam happens all the time, because what would happen is he would deposit it with his bank, but it takes the bank a couple of days to process it. If he had immediately gone and wired $1,500 to the place where they said to send the money, a couple days later, the bank would have said, oh, this was fraudulent, and he would have been out $1,500. I'm glad he didn't do that. He said part of the clue that maybe this was not on the up and up is the P.O. in P.O. box is not capitalized, nor is the P.A. in Pennsylvania, which, you know, most banks, including America's most convenient bank, somebody would catch that before they print their checks. So we don't want to be taken advantage of. It happens too often. We always have to be on guard, don't we? So if something surprises us, part of us wants to protect ourselves and say, I'm not going to be pulled into this. But what about if God is doing something that's amazing, that we ought to be open to? What if we were in that situation on the day of Pentecost and we could hear that something was happening that we couldn't explain? We heard the noise. We went running. We heard these people speaking in our own native language, but it didn't make any sense to us. Would we press into it and say, what's happening here? Or would we say, I don't believe it? Are we a people who may be open to God doing something that we don't understand and to receive that as something amazing? Or are we just going to be satisfied saying, I'm only going to operate within my own experience, in what I understand? What will we do in the face of surprise? We want to face surprise with openness and wisdom. One great example from Scripture comes not long after the Pentecost account of the book of Acts, as the message of Jesus was spreading, just as he said it would, from town to town, outward from Jerusalem, around the Roman Empire, and eventually beyond. And as it's going from town to town around the Roman Empire in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, we read, that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. That would be like a local church. This would be where people were who were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And what they would want them to do, the reason Paul and Silas would be going here, is to say what you read in the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah, it has been fulfilled. We want to tell you about Jesus. And the people of Berea, continuing in verse 11, were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. This would have been a surprise to them. What? The Messiah has come? And they wanted to know more. Surprise gathers information. They want to gather information. They want to test the information that they're gathering. They're not going to be gullible. They're not going to be sucked into something false, something fraudulent. They're not going to be blown about by wind of every teaching that happens to blow into town. They're going to test it. And this is an example for us. When we feel surprised by something, let's be like the Bereans. They weren't closed-minded cynics who wrote off something that was outside their experience. They weren't gullible fools. They were rooted in Scripture, and they tested what they heard. God is going to do some things in this community, in our midst, that will challenge us, that will surprise us, that will be outside our experience. We're going to be caught off guard. It's going to cause us to go, what is happening here? How are we going to respond to that? It might be something that happens through Revive Wisconsin, where we're partnering with other churches in the area. And we might hear something from somebody who's a part of another church and go, well, that's not the way we do it. Are we going to be ready to test that? To learn from each other, to support each other, to acknowledge and to recognize that God works in diverse ways from place to place, from person to person. It might be in what you're asked to do. And we were looking at a potential building program. We're working on selling our office. We're examining a piece of property in Weston to see if it would fit long-term needs. But then what if it happens in a way that you didn't expect or you couldn't have imagined or wouldn't have planned? Are you going to be open to what church could look like if it's different from what you grew up with? Apparently, because you're here. God is going to continue to surprise us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. We don't know everything. We are going to feel surprised. And sometimes it is going to be a joyful surprise, and sometimes it is going to be a confounding surprise. What do we do with this? Let's be a people who face surprise wisely, who are rooted in Scripture, who are operating with our Bibles open, who are supporting each other, who are asking each other questions. What do you think? What's happening here? What's going on? So that we're not blown about by every teaching, and yet we will not miss the work of God when He does amazing things in our midst. Let's pray. God, thank you for your surprises. This is amazing. I pray that indeed we would be a people who are connected to Christ, who are abiding in Him, who are searching the Scriptures as the Bereans did, that we're not a people who are foolish and gullible. I pray, God, for wisdom to help us discern what is true, what is healthy, what is helpful, what is right, from what just takes us off track. I thank you that you've gathered us together to honor you by worshiping you. You are worthy. You are higher than us. And it's our pleasure to look to you for good gifts and to celebrate surprises from you. In Jesus' name, amen.